All right, hour number two. Good to have you with us. So on a Wednesday afternoon, it is the NBA draft. The Wizards made a big trade yesterday. We'll get right back to your calls. But first, I just wanted to bring you one more cut from David Aldridge. We ended last hour with a cut. And again, we can talk about the trade and what it means, what it potentially means. I mentioned to me, if they draft Trey Johnson from Texas, it would indicate to me that they think or that they're planning, again, I could be wrong on this, it would indicate to me that they're planning on moving on already from C.J. McCollum and or Corey Kispert. That would seem to me like pretty logical, but maybe I'm wrong on that too. There are things that you can tell, things that you can't tell. David Aldridge, again, longtime NBA voice, was a guest of Grant Nanny yesterday over on The Fan, so I wanted to bring you this second cut here that AMAC got for us and Darris got for us as well on what this all kind of means.
Look, he's 27 years old. Nobody, you know, this is not where he wants to spend the rest of his career. You know, I think we all understood that. So it was really just a matter of, would there be a deal either this summer or next summer that made sense for the Wizards? And as you guys mentioned, the important thing with CJ and with Olynyk is expiring contracts. That's the most important thing. It makes the Wizards in the summer of 2026 a team that might be able to do some things, whether that's free agency or trades or a combination of those things, if they feel like they need to goose this rebuild, right?
All right, that is, again, David Aldridge with the analysis on the McCollum pool trade from yesterday. Now, one thing to keep in mind, right? Everybody keeps talking about all of this cap space that the Wizards are going to have. Yes, that is true. With expiring contracts. Got it. But remember, nobody of veteran pedigree that's good, that can actually help you win, is going to want to come to Washington if they have a choice. Meaning, if they don't have a choice, they come. But if you're, like, for instance, Kevin Durant had choices. He had options. He didn't want, as we know, he's never wanted Washington, but he had the ability to say, not for me, dog. Not going to Minnesota. Who was the other team that was heavily involved in trying to get him that he said no to? Was it Miami? I think it was Miami. That was heavily involved in trying to get him. He wanted to go to either San Antonio, Houston, or there was one other team on his list.
We're talking
Do
about
you remember
Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant? I can't remember the third team on his list that he wanted to go to, and there was a team besides Minnesota that he also...
The list that he preferred to go to was Houston, San Antonio, and Miami.
Okay, so Miami was on the preferred list.
Yes.
Okay. Is there anything on the... Besides Minnesota... And obviously Washington. Was there a team that was pursuing him that he did not want to go to? I know he flat out rejected going to Minnesota. I think there was another contending team that wanted him or was interested in going after him that he said no to. I just can't remember which team. Anyway, my point being is any player that has leverage or any player that has potential options ain't going to want to come here if you've lost 65-plus games in each of the last 3 years just because you have money, just because you could take on a bad contract. Now, will they be able to get some players? Sure, absolutely, because players will always want to get paid.
So I'm sorry, I didn't want to cut you off, but he rejected the trade from Minnesota,
right?
And I believe the Suns rejected a trade from the Heat.
Okay.
So he wanted to go to the Heat. The Heat made an offer.
I thought there was another team besides Minnesota that he said no to, but maybe I'm wrong on that. Okay. Not the Knicks, right? That doesn't make...
I do remember the Knicks being in that conversation, but I'm not seeing anything online.
Either way, I think we can all agree, right? A guy like Kevin Durant had options and the ability to say, no, just like the Suns had some options, right? The reason why I'm not a fan of, again, you people call it tanking, I call it reloading, relaunching, rebuilding, reshuffling the deck. The reason why I'm not a fan of just clearing the deck and saying, hey, we've got all the salary cap space so we can take all of your bad players and bad contracts just so we can get draft picks along with it and get 17 second round picks. While I understand there's some value in that, if you want to win anytime soon, you have to start putting the pieces that allow you to win in place in year three of a rebuild, of a reload, of a relaunch. And that's what I believe the Wizards are trying to do. I don't believe they're trying to suck for three more years. I really don't believe that. And I really don't believe they'll become a clearinghouse for every terrible contract just to get seven more second-round picks. My apologies. Well, I choke up on my allergies. Great. Awesome. God, allergies suck. You get my point? Like, there are a lot of people that are convinced that the only redeeming part of yesterday's trade was that they now get to take on more bad contracts. That ain't redeeming for me. I'm sorry, that's not redeeming for me. That's not the way I want to operate. And maybe they know more. They know more. Maybe you all know more. That's not for me, dog. I take on some bad contracts. I understand why you bring in McCollum and Olynyk, but I also look at it from a, hey, they help you win. They help you win. They don't help you lose. They help you win as long as they're here. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to Gary in Maryland. Once again, I'm having problems. AMAC, I don't know what's going on. It won't click on the line. My fault. Gary in Maryland's been waiting patiently. We'll get to Gary right here on the Team 980. Hey, Gary, how are you?
Hey, Chris.
What's going on, Gary? What's shaking?
First of all, I'm going to be completely transparent. I got home about an hour ago,
and
a buddy of mine said, hey, you need to turn on 980. This guy is saying what you've been saying for several months now.
All right.
And you're spot on. You are spot on. And thank you for educating these Wizards fans out here in the DMV. Nobody sucks for 3 or 4 years looking for the diamond. It doesn't work that way. And you go back to the last several championships. They didn't build their team that way by just sucking, sucking, and sucking. And I'm a season ticket holder and a Wizards fan. So, no, I don't want another 15. I don't want another 30-win season. I want to win.
Yeah. So let me ask you this, Gary. As a season ticket holder and obviously as somebody who's on the right side of the aisle here, you were willing to support the team. How long have you been a season ticket holder? For more than 2 years, I would assume?
20 plus years.
Okay, so you were obviously through a lot of thin, right? You were willing, and most recently a lot of thin. You were willing to support them and give them an opportunity to rebuild. But in your idea, was that a 5-year project? Was that a 2-year project? Was that a 3? When they started, when Wenger and Dawkins came in, like, how did you view that? Did you view them, okay, they're going to have to suck for 5 years? Or did you view it as, hey, they're going to have to suck for 2 years, but by year three, man, it's time to go. It's time to grow. It's time to take the diapers off. It's time to take the milk out of the, you know, out of the bottle and go to the big boy cup.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I wanted, all right, you had to get rid of Bill the first year and all that.
Sure.
Then you had to get your draft picks in, and they did a great job last year.
Correct.
To get those two extra first-round draft picks. But no, not a third year. Matter of fact, I was very, I'm not going to say pissed off, But I wasn't happy because this team was not trying to win. And then you hear some fans say, well, they just wasn't that good. Well, I saw every game, home and away, and you can tell they weren't trying to win. And no, I agree with you. Ted does not, I'm going to speak for Ted. Ted does not want to go through another 20-game season. Mm-hmm. Because when you lose, you create a culture of losing. You don't attract new season ticket holders. Mm-hmm. You don't attract new sponsors. But when you're out there scrapping and trying to win, people will come. People will, hey, that's a scrappy team right there. They're entertaining.
Well, to your point, Gary, not only will you not attract new fans, new corporate partners, all that business stuff, but my main objection is, how does Bob Carrington, how does Alex Saar, how does Keyshawn mm-hmm. George, Bilal Coulibaly, whoever they draft tonight, A.J. Johnson, how do those six or seven guys learn how to win? Not only forget about a championship, how do they learn how to win over 82 games, which gets you into the dance if you're good enough? How do they learn how to do it? That just doesn't happen on its own. They have to try and win and develop those good habits that you're talking about, the culture that you're talking about. That's how you do it, by trying to win, by building a team that gives you night in, night out, a sustainable chance to win and play defense and get better.
Yes, that's the only way to do it. And for all the other Wizards fans out here, this is one thing I'm getting tired of hearing. Let's not go back to the past where we had different leadership in the front office. I don't know if a lot of Wizards fans, I don't think they realize we have a new front office in place. They're in place. I don't know how closely they follow the team, but the one guy on the call said, hey, did someone draft Johnny Dawkins? Everyone that's following the Wizards, no, that was Tommy Shepard's last number one draft pick.
Correct.
That's probably why, and a couple other reasons why he's not here. But we have a new leadership in the front office. Open your eyes and recognize.
Yeah. No,
I'm not trying to be overly optimistic, but I don't want to be pessimistic. And I'll say just one more thing. Mr. Aldridge, I respect him utmost. I don't agree with what he said either. Yeah. Because please show me two or three more teams that built that way and won championships.
Yeah.
If that's the way to go, Mr. Aldridge.
I'm with you.
And I respect David Aldridge.
Yeah,
to the
so
most.
Do I. I mean, I like David. I strongly disagree with him, that we're going to play this game of just hoping that the lottery balls turn out in our favor instead of actually building a roster. And building a roster with young, exchangeable, versatile, flexible commodities that you can do something with. Either trade, i.e. Jordan Poole, or the ability to attract somebody with options to say, hey, you know what? They got seven or eight players in Washington. That's a great young core. That reminds me of what they built in Oklahoma City. I want to be a part of that. That reminds me of what they built in Indiana. That reminds me of what they built in Boston. To your point, the last several champions or teams in the NBA Finals. That's what it's about. It's not just about hoping and thinking and maybe you might step in poop and come out smelling like roses. That's not for me, and it certainly sounds, thankfully, it's not for you. Gary, I appreciate you. Great call. Not just because you disagree, agree with me, but I appreciate you nonetheless because it was a reasonable perspective. And there's a longtime season ticket holder, who wants to win, who's not ready to just mail it in for some top eight protected draft pick. Again, think about this, guys. Everybody thinks they have the answers, and they don't worry about any of the ancillary questions. How do we get all of these young guys to learn how to win and know what it takes over an 82-game grind, not to mention potentially if you get in the playoffs, if you never try and win? If you're always trying to play the lottery ball game, if you're always trying to implode and basically bottom out, how does that happen? I don't know. All right, let's get one more in here, and then we'll take a break. Lap is in D.C. on line one, AMAC. We'll get to Lap, and then we'll take a timeout, and we'll recalibrate after that. What's up, Lap? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Rooster? How's it going, man?
What's shaking?
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
man.
Thanks. Thanks for making it.
Hey, yeah, I'm with you, man. And it was a point you had made a while back about getting some good quality players, you know, a bunch of them, instead of, you know, swinging for the fences to try to get that top player. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I just think, I think the draft is just rigged, bro. It's like we couldn't even get Wembanyama when we was a team that was deserving of a top pick, man. And now look at the Cooper Flagg situation. So it's like, now do you have to be in the play-in or outside the play-in to get it? Because I think that's what Adam Silverman said about if you tank, you don't really get a good chance to get it. You got to be, you know what I'm saying, kind of way in the middle of the bottom half,
right,
but not like
Well, that's the way it's kind of worked out over the last couple years, right? I mean, Detroit had the worst record in the NBA 2 years in running. Not this year.
Yeah.
The 2 years before. The best chance at winning the lottery, and they finished fifth both years. This year, Utah Jazz, the Washington Wizards, and the Charlotte Hornets tied for the best chance at 14.5%, and they finished fifth, sixth, and seventh. Like, to me, again, I'm sorry whether it's rigged or not, and they swear it's not rigged, and people that have been in there say it's not rigged and all that. So I got to trust them at this point. But, Lap, I don't know. Whether it's – again, I don't truly believe it's rigged anymore. I believe at one point it used to be. Whatever it is, okay, the basketball gods and the common sense gods are telling you, don't do this. It's not worth the risk. You're not going to get the payoff. There's other ways to build your team. And I truly believe the Wizards understood that and had a plan for that as well. Not every team has that. I believe the Wizards brass does and did.
Quick point, Rooster. I don't. I like what they're doing. You know, trying to get players. Hopefully, we can develop them. We need a really good coach, though. I think they need to try to get Mark Jackson or Sam Cassell. And in this draft, I think if Trey Johnson is not available at six, we need to get Derek Queen. And then with that 18th pick, try to get either Clayton or Clifford, you know what I'm saying, or best player available at that time. But we need a coach, because this coach we have, he sucks to me.
I got you, Lap. I hear the frustration. I don't think he sucks.
Yeah, we can see what direction we go in and there. Because we don't really know what they're doing, Rooster. Like, the plan in place, we don't really know what they're doing. Like, are we going to develop players? Are we going to try to make the play-in? Are we going to try to contend for a title in a couple of years? We just don't really know. So I'm just hoping they get it figured out and we get some nice quality players in this draft.
I got you. I appreciate the phone call. Let you run on that. Let me give you a couple of thoughts on that on the other side because I need a little more time. So we'll do that. After 2:30, we'll probably move into some other areas of this that I want to explore because, again, I'm not just somebody that says there's only one way to do it, and one way and only one way, and one answer and one solution. I think there's a number of different ways that you can improve your team and improve your chances and improve your organization. We'll discuss more as we go along, plus all the rumors and innuendo and reports out there and any trades that happen. And remember, when the Wizards get on the clock tonight at 6, even if they announce who they're taking, that does not mean that player is coming to Washington. We know that. So just keep that in mind. 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, 26 minutes after the hour. Good to have you with us. Let me address a couple of things that Lapp just brought up. As far as Brian Keefe goes, I mean, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. There are a number of coaches, high-profile, veteran coaches, that are available. Tom Thibodeau, the dude from Denver, Mike,
Malone. That was it.
What was his
Michael
name?
Michael Malone.
Michael Malone, thank you. Frank Vogel. There are a number of potential veteran coaches. You have to, if you're Will Dawkins and Michael Winger, say, can a veteran coach take us over the edge? Put us over the top? And the answer for me is when you're at 15 and 18 wins the last 2 years and you've got all these young draft picks, I don't think right this moment is the time. But what I would say is if you see a stunning lack of development and compete in the first month, month and a half of the season, that's when you make a move. And you know what? People are going to say, well, then you can't go out and get a big guy. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If you think all of these teams, the Wizards included, aren't discussing potential candidates to take the next step and maybe having preliminary conversations with them and maybe having them already agreed to and under contract by the time they, I don't know, turn around and fire their head coach. And again, I'm not trying to cost Brian Keefe a job, whatever. In, let's just call it mid-December, if you don't think it works that way, you're not paying attention. It works that way in every sport. Now, sometimes legitimately you could fire a coach, I guess, and just say, all right, we have an interim, which is basically what they did with Wes Unseld. We have an interim on the staff, what have you. In this case, I don't think you're going to interim on the staff. I think if you fire Brian Keefe, whether it's now, which I don't think is likely, or more likely mid-season or early in the season, early-ish in the season, it's because you have someone in mind that you've decided, okay, this guy is going to take us over the edge. And maybe guys like Thibodeau, Malone, Vogel, etc. can benefit from having a little more time off, recharging their batteries, rediscovering their passion. Maybe. I don't know. One thing I wanted to get to, AMAC. So, I got a lot of blowback from this about how the Wizards need to suck in year three of the rebuild because of the top eight protected picks. So I looked this up, right? And basically the way it's written is Washington has the right to swap its 2026 first-round pick, which is protected for selections 9 through 30, for Phoenix's 2026 first-round pick. Okay? So basically, my understanding is if the Wizards finish, and if the Wizards finish after, I guess, the NBA draft lottery, which officially sets the order, in the top eight, right? They can, meaning after the lottery, they finish in the top eight. They can then swap with Phoenix and go where Phoenix is? Say if Phoenix has the number one or the number two overall or whatever. Is that your understanding on how that works? It says Washington has the right to swap its 2026 first-round pick protected for selections 9 through 30, meaning if they finish 9th or 10th or 11th after the draft lottery, then I believe they can't switch into Phoenix's pick. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, so yes, that 100% that does. And it's Washington's decision to make.
That's the way I understand it. That's the way it's written here.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
From the Bradley Beal trade.
Yes, that sounds right.
So, meaning it is in their favor to suck bad enough that, say, you finish, like, like for instance, okay, this year, they, Charlotte, and Utah were tied for the worst record, best chance, right? And Washington fell all the way to 6, Utah fell to 5, and Charlotte fell to 7.
Yeah, they could.
So theoretically, if the Wizards were to finish with the, they could, if they finished lower than the fourth best odds, they could drop out of the top eight. Meaning, if they finish with the best odds, 14.5%, and say it's not three teams next year, it's two teams, okay? Then they are guaranteed, even if they lose the lottery, to not fall back any further than five or six or possibly seven. I guess five or six in this particular case.
I mean, it's not guaranteed.
You can only move back five spots. So, like, that's the max you can move back.
Okay?
So what I'm saying is, if you need to be in the top eight, you need Phoenix, obviously, to be as bad as people think they're going to be. You need Phoenix to win the lottery, to finish second in the lottery, whatever it might be. You need to, in the regular season, put yourself in a position where you are no less than the fourth worst teams in terms of odds, because you can move back five spots if you lose to ninth, which then would preclude you from swapping picks. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you need Phoenix to suck, which everybody thinks they will suck, because everybody thinks they'll also trade Bradley Beal and maybe even Devin Booker. Good luck trying to find a new home for Bradley Beal, but whatever. Devin Booker, I could see. So you need Phoenix to suck. I could see that happening. But you need the Wizards to suck as well. And basically the Wizards to suck so bad that they have to be in the top four worst in terms of percentages, if I have this right. And by no means am I an expert in this stuff, but that's what I understand to be. So you have to have both of those components in order to make this work. That ain't enough for me, dog. I'm sorry. Too much. I'm looking at Ted Leonsis and Zach Leonsis on TV right now on the Mystics coverage. I watched a bunch of the game last night. Good win for the Mystics right here on the Team 980. I'm sorry. Now, you may think they're bad people, crooks, bad owners, whatever you want to call them. You're wrong, by the way. Those guys don't want to win 15 games again. No matter what the potential benefit is, those guys don't want to suck that bad again. No matter what it is. They want to be young. They want to be flexible. They want to be well-built. They don't want to suck. I promise you on that. Promise you. All right, time for a trending alert, and then we will come back and give you some more data, if you will, on some of the top prospects as we look towards the number six, and also a stunning evaluation that I haven't seen until just now of Derek Queen from Maryland. Wait till you hear this on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, the NBA draft is indeed tonight from New York, 8 o'clock Eastern time. The Wizards right now with the number 6 and the number 18 overall pick. After yesterday's big trade to acquire C.J. McCollum, they dealt not only Jordan Poole and Sadiq Bey, but also the number 40 overall pick in tomorrow night's second round. But again, they have number 6 and they have number 18 coming up. That incredible analysis of Maryland's Derek Queen, who some have being a top 10 pick in tonight's first round. We will see. Linnell Willingham anchors our NBA draft coverage from Capital One Arena. Tonight, it begins at 7. It goes until 11 right here, exclusively on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Meanwhile, the Nationals play a little afternoon baseball after dropping one last night, late night, 4-3 to the Padres after having an initial 3-0 lead. 4-10 first pitch. Mackenzie Gore against his former team, the San Diego Padres, who come in looking, each team comes in rather, looking for a series win. 4-10 first pitch, 340 pregame coverage, 106.7 The Fan, and the Odyssey app. And The Fan, in case you missed this last night, that taunted Ketel Marte of the Arizona Diamondbacks over the loss of his mother several years ago that caused him to cry and be in tears on the pitcher's mound, has been banned for life from Major League Baseball. Apparently, the White Sox, who are being commended by Major League Baseball, we commend the White Sox for taking immediate action in removing the fan. And it's not apparently the first time the fan yelled something inappropriate at a player. So he has been banned indefinitely. A 22-year-old fan has been banned indefinitely from all Major League Baseball parks as a result of this. And that's what's trending. All right, welcome back, everybody. My bad, A-Mac. Sorry, I jumped the gun there a little bit. I apologize. Hey, you know what? I love shopping on Amazon, right? Doesn't everybody? I know I do. Get some good deals. If you love deals, you'll love this. Prime Day is lasting 4 days this year. You may have already seen the LeBron James commercial. That's right. 4 days of unbelievable deals in every category you can think of. So you can save big on everything you're into. Shop Prime Day, July 8th through the 11th. Right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. So we continue along. Let me give you a couple of odds for actually, you know what? Let me do this. I promise something else first. So I mentioned this yesterday. Kevin Pelton of ESPN.com put together this projecting the 30 best NBA draft prospects, and he goes into some heavy analytics and whatnot. Some stuff I don't take very much seriously. Some stuff I don't even know what to do with. But it's good data, and it's good information, and it helps you and whatnot. But before we get to some of the things on Ace Bailey, who is, again, thought to be the Wizards' preferred pick at number six and the most likely choice, I was stunned by reading what he did with Derek Queen. That's right, Derek Queen, Maryland. AMAC, if I told you Kevin Pelton did a top 30 ranking in detail, again, using statistics, analytics, what have you, to try and use as a big board, if you will, right? We see these all the time. If I told you a prominent NBA writer, analyst for ESPN, did a top 30, you would say Derek Queen was absolutely on that list, correct? No doubt?
Yeah.
Right. 100%. I think everybody would answer it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not on this list, man. Number 32. Number 32 for Derek Queen. Now, a lot of people would say, well, because of that, I can't take this list seriously. But here's what he says. Derek Queen, in the top 100, he's got at number 13. Stats, number 62. Consensus, a 1.2 win above replacement player. And he says, it's worth discussing Queen, the highest ranked player, not to crack the top 30. Although Queen is far more skilled than some of the other centers above him, his 56% two-point shooting was low by the standards of a modern center. Queen blocked just 4% of opponent two-point attempts, which is poor for a center, and the reason the players most similar to him are often combo bigs, such as Bobby Portis and Cody Zeller. Lastly, Queen turned 20 during his freshman year. He's a year older than Sorber, who's the Georgetown kid, and nearly 2 years older than Behringer, who's another top 15 prospect, which we'll get to. So he's saying age, slightly older, one. Two, blocking on the down low, in the paint, perimeter, what have you, just 4% of opponents' two-point attempts. And 56% two-point shooting, meaning non-threes, which we know Derek Queen can stretch the floor and hit threes, but his game, his offensive game, although it obviously landed Maryland in the Sweet 16, in and around the paint, on the low block, short perimeter, mid-range jumpers is not good enough. So three things that landed him number 62 in terms of the stat ranking, but he's number 13 in terms of the player ranking. Do you buy any of this that because he's got, at least in 1 year at Maryland, some flaws in his game, and I absolutely think he's got flaws in his game.
Yeah.
Do you buy that based on this ranking, Derek Queen could go at the very end of the first round, or maybe not at all in the first round, if this ranking is anything close?
I mean, I think a lot of this has to do with like situations that people like go to as well. It's funny because like we had someone, I work at Big Ten this morning on SiriusXM, we had someone who came on our show earlier this morning and said that they like Derek Queen more than Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at it like, okay, Cooper Kupp has the raw talent and kind of like that fiery tenacity and led Duke in all categories this year, but it's more so he has room to grow, but Derek Queen has a lot more untapped ability when it comes to talents on the basketball court. I would probably disagree with him there in terms of who's a better talent or who has more upside and who's a better prospect. But I said all that to say that I don't think that Derek Queen is leaving the first round. There, like you pointed out, there is a lot to grow, a lot of room to grow for Derek Queen, but a lot of these players we're looking at in the draft, we're looking at and projecting. And you do that with any draft, like not even just the NBA. It's like, okay, this player is good at this. They can work on X, Y, and Z. Do we have the tools and the coaching staff and the players around them and the leadership to facilitate this player to grow? Or is that not the best situation for us? And if you can't look at Derek Queen and say, like, we can untap some potential here or tap some potential here and create a talented player in 2 or 3 years in the NBA, then I don't know what you're looking at, because that's definitely a top 30 talent in this upcoming draft.
I agree. Now, I understand that the raw metrics are the raw metrics, right? And he's going to play five times at least better competition in the NBA night in, night out. And this is why so many flop and fail, because if a guy is tired or worn down or beat up or whatever it is over 35-ish games in college hoops playing against 18 and 19-year-olds, now that you play against real men, but the reverse of that is if you see a player, right, and it really depends on their work mentality, where they say, okay, I understand I've got to go from 35-ish games to 82 games and perhaps more. I really need to work on my body. I need to work on my diet. I need to work on my weight. I need to work on my athleticism, whatever it might be. I need to work on my low post game, again, to address some of those shooting issues. I need to worry about my defense, my backside defense, my blindside help, whatever. Players can obviously get better. And that's what I think Derek Queen is. I think that's what he is a guy that has flaws or questions, and why I think it's not out of the question that he could be there at number 18 for the Wizards. And certainly this would indicate that, and then some, right? So, I don't know. Is it possible that the Wizards could wind up with Derek Queen at 18 and then, again, pick your choice at 6, depending on who's available? If it's, say, Ace Bailey? If they walked away with Ace Bailey and Derek Queen tonight,
that's a pretty great night.
I think Will Dawkins will be hailed a conquering hero.
Yeah.
The public perception of that is going to be steal. Whether it works out that way, I don't know. We're going to ask Kevin Sheehan about that coming up after 3 o'clock because, well, he a Terp, and he knows Derek Queen better than anybody that I know. So we'll ask him about this and that on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, again, Kevin Sheehan of the Kevin Sheehan Show back with us in about 7 or 8 minutes or so on the other side of 3 o'clock. I want him to respond to this Derek Queen ranking because he knows Queen and Maryland like the back of his hand. So I want to see what he things. I don't even know if he's seen this. I just sent it to him. So hopefully he'll get a chance to check it out. If not, we'll have to explain it live on the radio. But that's coming up just after 3 o'clock. Let's go back to the phones. Squeeze in Mitch in New Jersey. AMAC, if you can help me out again, thank you. On line two. What's up, Mitch? How are you?
How's it going, Chris? How's everything?
What's up, Mitch? What's going on?
Yeah. Best player available, that's what I expect, in these two picks. I don't understand the pool for an older guy. And it's not tall. I don't think that tall. Best player available, that's what I'm hoping. And with one more thing with Ace Bailey, I wonder if he's the only 6'2". I mean, come on. Women lie about the age, men lie about the height. I don't quite get it.
Well,
anyway,
yeah, I mean, I've seen all sorts of things, right, on him in terms of what he's listed at, right? He was, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was listed at 6'10", and he's more like a 6'8", in reality, I believe. I could be wrong on that, but that's what I remember hearing.
6'7" and a half, I heard.
Or 6'7" and a half, whatever.
One more thing.
What I don't love about him so far is his little diva attitude with his agent. I'm not going to work out here. I'm not going to work out there. I only want to go here. I don't love that.
Well, there's always Turkey and Israel that you can look out for, too,
that's
right?
Fair.
But one more thing. I never quite understood why Rutgers didn't make the tournament. You have two guys in the top three, supposedly, in the lottery. But anyway, thanks for taking my call.
All right, thank you, Mitch. Appreciate it. That's because talent alone does not win you games, which goes back to what we were talking about with the Wizards. If you just have all this talent, all these young pieces, do they know how to win? Do they know how to play? Do they know what it takes? Do they know how to dig in and play defense in the final 2-3 minutes of a game? And the answer often is no, and then people go, why didn't they win? Why did the coach get fired? It's because they were too busy trying to accumulate assets and not paying attention to what actually wins basketball games. Let's squeeze one more in here before the top of the hour. Jim is in Rockville on the Team 980. Jim, good afternoon. How are you?
All right. I'll go fast because I know the time's limited. I'm a huge Maryland fan dating back to the Lucky Days and covered Maryland for Rivals during all the Gary and Turgeon years. I think the really salient point on Derek Queen is after the Portsmouth Invitational workouts, his stock started free-falling because he measured a little shorter than advertised, plus his reach is only 7 foot. Like Thomas Sorber from Georgetown, who's about the same height as a 7'6 wingspan.
Right.
Also, they tested him for athleticism, and he came out in the 7th percentile, which meant out of every 14 players, he was the least athletic. So the concerns really go to he's not big enough to be an NBA center. He has no vertical lift. He's probably too short to be a starting center, which makes you look like a guy like Thomas Bryant or some of these other guys who bang around the NBA. And he really doesn't have the quickness or the foot speed to guard fours in the open space. I mean, the NBA might see him as a guy who doesn't have a position.
And that makes sense. Again, I'm not questioning whether this is egregious or not. I think at some point you say, all right, like in the 20, 25 range, right? Wouldn't you take a shot on that skill package that he can develop some of that?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not suggesting he should follow top 30, but that's why he started free falling. I think other things, little things like, you know, he'd been at Montverde for 3 years, which really gets you ready for college.
Right.
But he shows up at Maryland, and, you know, Willard makes him lose 25 pounds when he shows up for campus. And when the season starts, he still wasn't body beautiful. I mean, so you look at his motivation, and you know, you can be like a guy like Joel Embiid, who's great but never bothered to get, or Doncic, who's great but never got in shape. You know, I wish the best for him. I always root for every Terp, but that's the reason why I started free falling.
Gotcha. Good intel there. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Let's run on that. Kevin Sheehan, again, expected to join us. We'll get more on Derek Queen and where he expects him to go from Maryland, and everything else, his thoughts on the Wizards with the 6 and 18 overall pick, and more coming up shortly on the other side of 3 o'clock on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app.